Natalie Queiroz was 8 months pregnant when she was stabbed by her partner in the most vicious attack imaginable. In the space of 9 minutes and in broad daylight, Natalie was stabbed 24 times with a carving knife. She suffered horrific wounds to her lungs, liver, stomach and uterus, while the knife missed her baby by a margin of just 2 millimetres. Amazingly, both Natalie and her baby survived, but not without life-changing physical and emotional damage. And she's very bravely here to tell us all about her story from her book, Still Standing. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Good afternoon.
Hi there. I don't know where to start with this. I really don't. It's just awful. It was an ordinary day. You were just walking. I think you were walking to the shops and the unthinkable happened.
Yeah, I think that was also incredible as well about the story was the fact it was such a normal day. And it's like for any of us, you know, for anyone sort of listening, it's imagine just getting up in the morning and saying goodbye to your partner and kissing them goodbye and, you know, sort of chatting about what you're going to have for your tea and stuff like that, which is all the normal things that we did in that day. I spoke to him a few times on the phone, and I was actually making my way to the town centre. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a drizzly day, as it can be here in the UK, obviously, on quite a few days, unfortunately. And I was just, yeah, making my own way, minding my own business. And as I got very close to the town centre, I decided to cut behind a churchyard. And it's a pedestrianised alleyway, which, you know, quite a few people do use. And I started to make my way down there, and I realised that I could hear somebody following me. And it was one of those sixth sense moments where I glanced over my shoulder and saw somebody with their head down, very scruffily dressed, and just something told me that it wasn't right. And I felt very uneasy, and I started to quicken my pace, and which wasn't very easy when I was very sensibly, or not sensibly, wearing wedge-heeled boots at the time and 8 months pregnant, walking down a slippery slope. And, the man in question caught up with me, and as I stepped out of his way, because I could feel him right behind me, he jumped on me, and that's when the attack started.
You must have just thought, I don't know what you think at moments like that, but you wouldn't think it was your partner. You probably just thought you were being mugged or something.
That's exactly right. And he was fully in disguise, and when he jumped on me, he actually jumped on the side where my handbag was, and that was the exact thought I had. I thought it was somebody taking the fact that I was vulnerable, you know, being 8 months pregnant with a, you know, significant bump, and that they were mugging me. So when he grabbed me and his arm came across me, I'll never forget that moment, that horrible thud of just hearing that arm clamp across me and pull me backwards into him. And I was screaming, you know, get off me. And I was almost trying to wriggle my bag off my shoulder, you know, thinking, just take it.
Take the bag, yeah.
And then, yeah, exactly, just take the bag. But I was literally screaming, I think, get off me, please let me go. And then I saw at the corner of my eye, in his right arm, because his left arm was clamping me, in his right hand, I suddenly saw this 12-inch carving knife. And it was utter disbelief, just seeing this blade, thinking, I was thinking, there's no need for that. You don't need to have a knife.
Just take the bag.
Yeah, exactly. I just was in disbelief that there was a knife at all. And before I had a second to comprehend what was happening, he then plunged the knife straight into my chest. And then it became it was just repeated. He just started stabbing me repeatedly. I had 11 stab wounds in my chest alone. And I remember just looking down and almost having to look to see. I felt the pain, but you then go into this numb, and I had to almost look down, and when I saw my top was ripped, it was my head telling me, yes, you really have been stabbed. And then I guess it's the fight or flight. You just go into survival mode.
Yeah, and also a mother's instinct, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, all this time, you know, I'm thinking, I'm pregnant, I've got a baby, you know, and you don't want them going anywhere near the bump. And I was very lucky to, as I screamed for help, two men did come running to my aid, and they jumped on him, but as they dragged him down, he pulled me down as well. So I fell very heavily onto the pavement, and the attacker was still holding on to me at this point, and he just didn't let go of me. And I couldn't understand why I was being attacked, because he wasn't attacking the two people who were trying to tackle him off me. And I was screaming, why me? What have I done? And the attack was just incessant. And all the time, obviously, I'm desperately trying to break free, because I'm thinking about the bump, I'm thinking about the fact I'm being stabbed, and obviously as well that I'd fallen so heavily. And I was very lucky that one of the men who was holding him down, they grabbed his arm with the knife and pinned it to the pavement. And I think that just made him then, the attacker, let go of me. And in that split second of him letting go of me, I just got to my feet and stumbled a short way. But I'd probably been stabbed, I think, about 20 times at this point.
Oh,
and my blood
God.
Loss was excessive. So it's really adrenaline that got me to my feet. Only got a short way before I collapsed, apparently face first, onto the pavement. And as I came round again and dragged myself to a wall to prop myself against, I saw that the attacker too had broken free from the people, and he was coming at me for a second time. And yeah, it's one of those horrible moments when you're in like a nightmare, you know, when we have those dreadful nightmares and you want to get up and run. I couldn't get up off the pavement, and I was so scared because I could not move. My legs just would not take me. So I just had to sit there and watch him come towards me. And he then proceeded to attack me again with the knife. And it was only when a young lad who'd heard the screaming had come running from the town centre, incredible young man, and he came running around the corner and tore the attacker off me. And but unfortunately, at that point, the attacker had slit open my wrist in that second part of the attack,
goodness,
and stabbed me in the stomach and was trying to cut my throat.
It's
so unbelievable. Sorry to all your listeners, because it's a really horrific detail.
I know, but it's incredible. And to think that thank goodness your baby survived, because it literally just missed the baby by 2 millimetres.
Yeah, the medical reports, I must admit, we all thought there was no chance that the child, you know, that my little one, that she could possibly be alive. I remember I was airlifted out of the town centre, and I remember the doctor saying to me, "Can you feel the baby move, Natalie? Can you feel the baby move?" And I couldn't. I kept saying, "No, I can't." And then I had to block it out, because the thought of what had happened was too horrific, you know, to think about the fact that I'd potentially lost her. And they delivered her whilst I was in theatre. I was in theatre for 5 hours when they got me to the hospital. And when they delivered her, they did have to have 5 attempts at resuscitating her. She was floppy. She wasn't breathing. And but they got her back, a little fighter that she is. She didn't give in. And all the medical reports say that, yes, it was 2 millimetres from killing her. I mean, 2 millimetres, when you think how tiny.
It's tiny. It's amazing that she survived, but it's also amazing that you survived. This lasted 9 minutes, a total of 24 times, and it just seemed like it was never going to end.
Yeah, and it was. It was this incessant attack, and the hospital, the major trauma centre here that I was airlifted to, have always, and they still say to this day, if I pop in and have to have various checkups on things, and all the medics say, "Nasty, you shouldn't be alive. You know, we're very glad you are, but technically you shouldn't be here, because it hit the outside of my heart, it hit my right lung, which collapsed, it hit my liver, as you said, and my diaphragm and the uterus, and he cut open the main artery in my wrist." And they said one of those things alone should have killed you, let alone all of them, on top of you being 8 months pregnant. So we don't know. Somebody was watching down on me.
Yes,
somebody,
I
and
believe.
That's why I have to make the most of life now, because somebody or something was making sure I
think
I was still here.
I think you're absolutely right there. So at what point, you say you passed out and you came round, was it at that point you realised who it was that was attacking you?
Well, this is a strange thing, because when I came back round and I looked back up to the people that I'd left and I saw the attacker break free, I saw him stand up and I caught a glimpse of his face for the first time, because he got a hoodie pulled right over and he was very scruffily dressed. And I remember thinking, oh, it's Bob. And Bobby was the name of my partner. And I was thinking, how does he know I'm here? And I obviously got excited, thinking, how does he know I'm here? He's come to save me. And because obviously I was a bit, fairly delirious, as you would be with that blood loss. But then I saw the knife in his hand, and he'd padded himself out. He actually had a rucksack under his top to disguise himself. And in the rucksack, he had spare clothes, spare shoes. He was fully intending on getting away. And because he was so padded out, I was thinking, well, it can't be him. It must be somebody who looks like him, because that's too fat for him. You know, he was a slim guy. And my head started to talk me out of it again. And when he was then in front of me attacking me for the second time, I wouldn't look at his face. And I've talked to my psychologist many times about, I was so frustrated, why didn't I look at his face? He's in front of me. And we conclude the fact that because deep down I'd clocked at this point that it was him, and my head could not cope with that reality. In order to survive, I had to block that out. And
yeah, obviously.
Survival.
Yeah, I think we'd all be the same. And it seems like a really obvious question. I'm sure you've asked the same question, and all our listeners will be wanting to know, why did he do it?
Yeah, the why is the biggest question out there. So the why given in court and the why given in... As you'll say, I've written my book Still Standing, and in the end of that is it finishes me going to visit him in prison, and I wanted to face him myself and try and get some reasons. A visit, it was purely in order to make him face me. And in both occasions, he's always claimed it was family pressure. He had different cultural background to me, and his family didn't approve, his mother especially, who's the oldest boy in the family, and I wasn't of the background that she wanted, and also he had financial pressure. But as I faced him in prison and said to him, I said, but why did I have to die? You know, even if I wasn't, you know, if I wasn't,
yeah,
what
just
your
split up.
Family wouldn't accept.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did he? And this is the crazy thing, and I cover it quite extensively in my book, because it's really strange because he wrote to me quite a few times from prison to start with. And he does all this maintaining, I still love you. And I'm like, no, you don't. You tried to murder me. And when I said to him, well, why didn't you leave me? His response came back, because I loved you too much.
Oh,
and I said, but
God,
that's crazy, because you were prepared for me to be dead. You were going to murder me. So the reasoning why, I do come to various conclusions throughout the book, to be fair, about why. I think there's a lot about the fact that he was leading quite a double life, and he always liked to maintain this perfect persona, perfect character, because everyone thought he was amazing and lovely, because there was no warning of this attack. He'd never been abusive, never been threatening, and everybody believed he was this absolutely perfect person.
Mm.
And whether that kind of played into it, that he suddenly wouldn't be perfect to his family anymore because they didn't know about the pregnancy, I don't know.
And it was his
There's
child
serious
as
psychological
well.
Issues.
Yeah,
yes,
clearly.
It was his child. So the background for everybody is that I'd met my partner when I was at school. We were at school together, and we were school friends. We'd maintained intermittent contact for years since. My best friend actually ended up marrying his best friend, because we were all these original group from school. And I only got together with him as an adult after I'd been married and divorced. And he very much wanted a child. I'd already got two children from a previous marriage, but he pushed and pushed. He was 40 years old when we got together, and he hadn't had any children, had never been married, and was desperate for a child. And he, in a way, gave me an ultimatum, because he said, I love you so much, Natalie, I want to be with you for the rest of my life, but if we're going to be together, you've got to have a baby, basically. You know, I want a child. So I made the decision to have a third child. I was 38, sort of coming at 39 at the time, and we decided that we would have a baby together. It was very much something he really wanted, and then at 8 months pregnant with his child, he did what he did.
It's really, really hard to believe. Obviously, we do, but it's crazy. Is he still in prison now?
Yeah, he got 18 years he pleaded guilty to attempted murder of myself and attempted what they call child destruction of our baby, because obviously she was in the womb, it's classed as child destruction, and severe wounding of the two first people who came to my aid because they got injured in the struggle. But yeah, he got 18 years to serve a minimum of 12. But obviously, my hope is that he will serve the full 18, although unfortunately I know it doesn't work necessarily like that in the justice system. But to protect my daughter, I'd like to think that he will serve 18 years, if only just to keep her safe till she's an adult.
How long has he served so far?
So it's 3 years now. So potentially in 9 years' time from now, I could be looking at him getting parole. And I'll be totally honest, it's a hideous thought. And something that's very hard to think about. I know it's still at least 9 years away. But my number one concern is, well, all three of my children, but especially in relation to this, is my youngest, because obviously biologically, and I have to say biologically, because he gave up the right to be a father the second he put the knife to
yes.
me. But biologically, she is obviously from him. And and she's such a wonderful, wonderful little girl. She's very strong-willed, very funny, very loving. And I just have to protect my baby.
Of course you do. Of course you do. She wasn't injured at all. She's not had any ongoing problems.
So what we've had with her is, as I say, because I had to resuscitate her, she had been starved of oxygen quite significantly. My blood pressure was so low, it was barely maintaining me at all, keeping me alive. Therefore, obviously, the blood going to her was very, very much a reduced amount, and the oxygen, so she was starved when in the womb of oxygen, and it took quite some time to resuscitate her. So we know that there was some damage to her brain because of that oxygen starvation. She's starting preschool around now, and we'll know if there are. I've been told to expect some learning difficulties. She has had a delay in her speech. So we will know in the next couple of years, really, if there is any effects like that. But if there is, we will get support, get help. She's so loving, so funny. Physically, her physical movements, luckily, have been totally unaffected. So she's a typical toddler at the moment who climbs into places she shouldn't be climbing. And
I can imagine. And how about you, Natalie? How has it left you, both physically and mentally?
Physically, obviously, there's the obvious scarring that gets left with it. But luckily, fake tan can help sort out a lot of covering that up. My left hand was quite severely damaged in the attack, and he cut through the tendons and the nerve, as well as the blood supply in my wrist. So the nerve has never been able to be repaired properly, so I have very little sensation in my left hand, and I am left-handed. And I've had to have my little finger fused, and there is a risk that at some point my little finger might have to be amputated because I'm still getting a lot of problems with it. And I was always told that I might lose my little finger at some point. So my left hand is quite bad. But really, in the scheme of things, I'm very lucky. Mentally, of course, it's tough. I'd like to think, sort of how I chart it, I say in the book, The Recovery, when I look back to those months, you know, even the first year or whatever after the attack, I was in some very hard places, very dark and hard places, as you can imagine, trying to come to terms with it all. But, you know, I've certainly recovered so much since then, and I've had so much support from friends and family that are around me. And I've got some very good friends who live in Spain, actually, who have come a bit of a sanctuary for me to fly over.
Oh,
and,
lovely. Do you pop into the
very
studios?
Close friends. Yes, my very close friends, Ava and Richard Clark, and they have been amazing, and they've supported me so much and given me a bit of a haven when I needed a breakaway from the UK to settle my mind. But I've had so much support. I'm very, very lucky, and I believe that anybody can get back, and that's kind of how when I wrote the book, it was to try and throw people, regardless of what happens. My life blew up in a matter of hours, not even that really, less than that. And it was totally unforeseen, and everything changed. But even when that happens, even the very worst happens, you get to your lowest point, I can tell you there really is a way back. And it's not easy. Doesn't happen overnight. It's not linear. You don't just get better each day and it carries on. There's some days that are good, some days that are really tough. I can have a day when I could cry still about things, but those days become fewer, and I embrace all the opportunities and all the wonderful things that have happened since. Yeah. So it is possible.
Yeah.
It really is.
It sounds like it's a very inspirational book, and you're a very strong lady. one final question. Has he ever said sorry for what he did?
He apologised partly in a letter in court that was read out, and when I went to face him in the prison, as I say, it was very much my aim that I wanted to face him because he'd left home as normal that day, and with there being no warning, I wanted him to look me in the eye because he hadn't looked me in the eye in court at all. He wouldn't look at me. And when I faced him, he did say, I'm sorry I did this to you, I'm sorry I did this to, you know, your family. But he spoke to it very detached, is the best way to put it, and it was always put down that he had this temporary, his defence said it was a temporary adjustment disorder, that he had a slight mental aberration, as it were. But if that had been the case, you'd think faced with me, he would have fallen apart going, I can't believe I did this to you, this is so awful, I'm so sorry.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but he wasn't. He was very controlled and very calm, eerily so, and therefore it didn't feel particularly sincere, I'll be honest.
Words are easy, aren't they? It's easy to say the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have three children, trust me, and they say sorry for things all the time, and I think, you don't mean that at all.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You know when somebody's
usually
really
when they've
sorry.
Spilt something over or taken food they're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, been there, done that. I really do applaud you. The book is just out, I believe. I've got the 13th of June.
Yes, it was out last week. Step Still Standing. It was last Thursday. So, it's quite a conversational read. It's probably like listening to me chat, to be honest. That might be a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure. But it's not a heavy going read. But it takes people right the way through the journey from the before, the build-up to it, and you'll see how normal everything was, the drawing and the after, and quite some good twists and turns of things that came out that I learnt after
right.
the attack about him.
Right. So, do you think it helped you writing the book?
Do you know, during the actual writing process, everyone's like, oh, it must be cathartic, it must be really good. It didn't feel it when I was writing it at times. At times I'd be sat at my computer crying my eyes out,
yeah.
I'm being really honest. But then when I came to the editing, because it took 2 years really from starting to write to finishing editing and it all being ready to be in the form it is today, when I went through the editing, I thought, actually, I have really come a long way. And it was really lovely to see it in black and white, actually, to really, because you don't notice progression. It's like with anything, you know, if we're trying to lose weight or get fitter, unless we take photos or we record something down in time and reflect on it, we don't notice our own journeys. And the book has really helped me reflect on the journey, really.
Yeah, I think you really have come a long way, and it sounds like your little one has as well. The book is called...
She's as dumb as a mother.
She bless her. She'll be strong then. The book's called Still Standing by Natalie Kairos, she was speaking to now. As she said, it came out last week, and you can buy it from our website. Just go to tre.radio and click on the bookshop banner, and you can buy it straight away from there. Natalie, you really are an inspiration. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Take care.
My pleasure. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.